To America, welcome to the tong where our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say, just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give up. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back, all our itchy onions out there from across the salt and across the pond, from our tongue to your tongue. We hope you're having a very sticky, icky Sunday. What just happened there? That is, you know what it is?
Sticky, icky.
We got our Hop This Way shirts going there, which are all looking good. And then Matt's rocking the brand new, that's right. Get some sticky shirt there, folks. You know where to find it. All over on Spotify. If that's something you want to go for, you know you can find it. But as we mentioned that, get the cheap plugs out of the way, I do want to send a special hello to all of our fans out there, and a special hello to my castmates. And to my left, as you see here, the one, the only, the very lovely, the very deadly, the Miss Stephanie Young.
Hello. So happy to be here.
It's so good to have you back. And down below, as we try to... What'd I do?
No. It was funny because you were like, the lovely, the deadly. And then she answers with this creepy ass, hello.
Shut up.
Listen, I'll go deep if you need me to. Okay.
Listen, we're trying to keep it. We want to start it off slow with the craziness and just build up to it. Nah, it don't matter. Keeping it all real though for us, and keeping it calm, keeping it zen. The one, the only, Miss Rebecca Nishi. How are you, Rebecca?
Hello, I'm fine. Always nice to see you.
Always good to see you. How are things in Brazil?
Good. Hot.
Yeah, rub that into us Canadian, well, this Canadian and that other Northern American.
I don't know if I'm going to get sticky, but sweaty, for sure.
And speaking of getting sticky and sweaty, why not?
What? These are getting progressively worse.
Sticky and sweaty, Matt Chua, right there, coming back from, did you have a workout today, buddy?
Yeah, I was literally rushing from all the way in Jersey all the way to here, and here we are, you know, barely made it by the skin of my teeth and by the you know, the stickiest situations, you know.
Yeah, it was sticky.
It was sticky. It's in my shirt, so yeah.
You know what? I feel like we need to get some kind of control of the show. I feel like we're off the rails. I feel like we need some kind of authority figure to be watching over us today, like some kind of special agent, if you will.
Who are we gonna find to actually keep order here?
You know what?
It's none of us.
If there's one person we found, at least on the show Warrior, that was able to keep control of both the onions and the bowls, the tongs and the bowls, if you will.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was that none other than Special Agent Mosley, the one and only Mr. Nick Corleone.
Hey!
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we are so absolutely happy to have you here as well. Nick, a lot of people do remember you, of course, as Special Agent Mosley on season 3 of Warrior.
And Sweet stash.
Yes,
that's a sweet stash. Do you miss the stash?
absolutely.
Look at that thing.
That is a manly looking stash.
Beauty.
Yeah, it does all the heavy lifting right there. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Of course, start right off the bat. People are sending the love in for you already. Derek Chin, our number one fan, saying one of my favorite characters from season 3, especially after he gave Chief Atwood what for. For real, though.
Okay, deliver that line. You have to deliver that line.
Well, the best part, I mean, listen, I wanted to get mine own as a hashtag, just going viral as soon as I could. I had so many friends just sending me things like, oh, you really made that yearn own.
I love it.
Come on. So good. So good.
So tell me, what was it like being the new guy on set, but being, you know, such an imperative and important character throughout season three? And as you tell us that, also, can you tell us what it's like? Like, did you know the importance of the show to the fans and what it meant to especially like the Asian community?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. My sort of introduction to the show was through my best friend, Josh Stoddard, when he started working on it, getting in the writer's room, getting executive producing, he and his partner, Evan. So I knew about it very early on and was as excited as I could be as a huge, you know, like the rest of the planet, a huge Bruce Lee fan, to know that it had Shannon's shepherding and blessing going through. I knew right out of the gate, sort of before it even became a show, how big it was going to be. And then just to see that realized, and you go, I mean, of course, you go, would he have an Asian voice in the writer's room, behind the camera, in the details of, you know, helping to decorate the scenes and fabricate the scenes and the props. The impact was not hard to imagine and then was a joy to behold.
That's so cool. You are a good friend of him. You made the first scene of episode two, the first episode that you are in. Now, that's Josh.
Yes.
He was your
yes.
partner. Oh, so nice.
It was the biggest gift in the world.
Yeah, he looks so serious on that
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, right. That's him. That's him to a T. He's always serious, zero fun. it's the exact opposite. I'd read the sides and the scene and saw that, you know, Mosley loses a partner early, and he sort of just sidles up to me and says, I'm Donaldson. Yes. I mean, and the whole time, I mean, I've known him for 30 plus years. So, and we used to, I mean, arguably play pretend. I mean, we did, we were actors too, but just goofing off. So to have this, he was so good about from day one to the last day of shooting to always remind me, to be present and be in the moment and enjoy it. And just to, and then to also remember the past and be like, remember when this was all we wanted to do? And here we are just goofing off in Cape Town, South Africa with a cast and crew of just absolute experts. And we just get to go and play and have a good time. And it's important and it's good. It was like, this is just too much. Yeah.
Chan always says, I'm sorry, just adding that Chan always says that we have to remember that we are working, because sometimes we play like we are on vacation in South Africa. So they have so much fun.
Yeah. And I think that electricity is palpable and is an undercurrent. You're seeing, even in these, you know, deadly, deadly battles between rivals and enemies, you still see something that you can't quite put your finger on.
Oh,
I think it is that sort of love. Look at those guys.
That shot.
and then to your first question, your first point, how is it to be the new guy on set? Well, they equipped me with a role that a guy in whom he doesn't care if he's the new guy. In fact, he sort of relishes that. And he has a stack of warrants from the President of the United States. So really, the punctuation on any scene is, oh, well, it's going to go the way I say. So that's a freedom to give a new person on set that you can't buy. It so empowers you. And it's a different energy to all the something they told me early on was that there's a lot of sort of alpha energy and people sort of jockeying for who's, and to have a guy who sits back and just goes, well, ultimately, when all the dust settles, I know I'm probably going to be on top is a real gift.
Oh, it's going to be that kind of meeting. I'm like, oh, yeah. I loved every bit of that attitude. I'm like, yes. Oh, yes. Okay, this is great.
Yeah, so good. I mean, that arsenal is unbeatable.
Now, so we've got a lot of questions here already and comments. Customs for the Kids says, I have a few episodes to catch up on, but glad you be here now. Or glad to be here now.
Be here now. That's right.
Be here.
There we go. There we go.
Be here.
And Raghu, and away we go. Yes, we are. RCR, let's go. Sticky and sweaty, and it's crazy, man. LOL. Thank you. People are loving
those are all
shirts.
Accurate. All
yes.
Accurate.
Yes.
Custom says, I wanted a spinoff with you and Lee. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because you guys have a great relationship there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tom is an absolute gem, literal salt of the earth, incredible guy, incredibly gracious. He was, in some scenes, very literally held my hand through things. He's like, yeah, we go over here, we walk through here. Here's the Long Z headquarters. Oh my gosh, there's the bathroom. Oh, okay, great. So the line blurred between set and Chinatown. I couldn't have asked for a better partner because again, all credits to the writers and Tom, but he's walking a tightrope where he is in his bones. He's that investigator, that sort of almost Sherlock Holmes forensics vice cop. And then to have somebody, again, a new guy come in and say, hey, that skill set you have, that's exactly what I need. It sort of reinvigorates him, brings him back into the world in a new way, an interesting way. It creates fun stuff between him and Karen, which was just amazing. It's such deft storytelling. And he was an awesome guy to get to spend all my on-screen and off-screen hours with.
You had a great chemistry for sure.
Oh, so good, so good. What was fun again, playing back against that, how much I just innately liked everybody right out of the gate. He then, when he was going into sort of apprehensive Lee mode, would sort of kind of bristle at some of the stuff. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I mean, it's such a, you know, that switch to go back and forth between there is an underlying maybe respect and an affinity, but to be like, no, the character doesn't want any of this. Character wants to be safe with Abigail and away from here. Excuse me for one. And that was just a fun sort of tug of war to play with. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Tom seems to be a guy that he has this calmness, and he seems to be that kind of person that makes you feel comfortable. He doesn't, he's just calm. The tone of his voice, he looks to be very gentleman. He has been to our show once.
Yeah, yeah.
With Nick, it was hilarious. He just, they are good friends in Cape Town. Both live in Cape Town. So it was so much fun to have them together. We laughed almost off crying, you know.
yeah. We have a WhatsApp group with me, Tom, Nick, Rob, and Kieran, and we do just what you said. We sending memes and razzing each other for. And we've been doing it since we wrapped. It's just been a blast.
Did we freeze Zeus? Joy. I mean, I love this picture. Where's Zeus?
Yeah, I don't know. Well.
Nick, we may have frozen.
That's hilarious. I love it. Yeah,
if I know. We're going to stay there. I look at the expressions.
Well, while we're waiting for whatever is happening, Nick, I got to let you know though, right? So when we announced that you were coming onto the show, there were so many DMs that we got and so many different comments of people were like, oh shit, Nick's coming on. Oh, I can't wait. Like you were a heavy, heavy favorite for a guest for this show. And we were just like, oh
my
god.
Oh, my nephew is 13 years old. And what did he send me a text about? Oh, I love Mosley. I'm like, I knew you would.
That is amazing.
Yes, yes. The newly manly 13-year-old nephew is like, yeah, right. Yeah, I like Mosley. I'm like, all yeah, right.
That's the energy I want. I want to kick in doors, slam tables.
And I was going to ask you, because he, as you said, he has this self-confidence. Almost also, he's a little bit comic. And yeah. You are in your real life making jokes all the time. But yeah. I feel like he is a little bit sadist. I don't know if you thought
sadist?
Of him. Yeah, sadist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My English is very
oh, no,
bad.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They another gift is to give this guy an absolutely singular purpose. Like when people would say early on when they watch those first scenes and say, oh, he's a bad guy. I'd be like, I don't know about that. He's just completely committed to he's going to take get the plates. And if that takes, you know, smushing this guy's what used to be his finger, that might be it. If it takes overturning a desk or you know bombing the place, like you're right, he is a bit of a sociopath there, where you're kind of like but I think he also genuinely likes, you know, the tools, and sometimes that's a person or a person that's, you know, whether that's tossing the print shop, or and I think he also had kind of some fun doing that, you know.
Yes, that's
mean,
he had to flex.
Mean stuff. Uh-huh. That's right.
He needed to flex.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, that he, yeah. That singularity of the goal was gave him a lot of freedom. Yeah, I agree.
Now, was there like a favorite? You know, because you were. For like heavily featured in season three, was there like a scene that you guys were shooting where you're just like, oh my god, this is probably the greatest thing ever that I've done on this show, with a lot of things that you were able to, you know, do and have fun and be creative with it? Like, was there like a standout moment?
Yeah, there's two. One was actualized and one was aspirational. One was I'm a huge Tarantino fan, so the sort of the gritty pulp sort of overlay of the show already speaks to me, you know, volumes. And so the homage or the sort of similar situation to the end of True Romance in the ice house was in my head. I was, you know, every character in True Romance, just so I'd be like, yo, put the guns down. They gave us, you know, they, you know, go off script and just say whatever we can think of to just, you know, try and get control of the situation. So that was a huge, you know, just one of those pinch me moments where I'm like, this is absolutely, I'm having the time of my life, which it all was.
Yeah.
And we already talked about the moment with being able to have my first moments on camera be with Josh was just unbelievable and a blessing. And then one was on the page, you know, I was training, I was in the stunt tent every day for the 4.5-5 months, whatever it was, just because it was, I got to spend time with all of these, I mean, absolute expert martial artists in all of their different fields with different specialties. And I forget who it was. It might have been Brett who came up and said, "Well, when's your big fight?" And I was like, "I don't have any big fights." I was like, "I have no fisticuffs whatsoever." But there was one moment in a scene I think it's either 8 or 9 where Andrew Koji comes in and he's saying, "You know, why should we trust this guy?" And he's at first, he's a little bit like tight-lipped with his information. And I say something on the script. I said something like, I step to him and say, well, we could always beat it out of him. And he's like, kind of like, and I just thought the most priceless moment where you have this punk, wiry guy with this fat mustache step to Koji and say, yeah, we could beat it out of you. Uh-huh. What in the world? Like, just kind of pushing me away with one finger. But the fact that I would have entirely believed it was so funny. I'm like, that is the best. That shows you who this guy is. Just like, step up to anybody and be like, yeah, well, maybe we could, I could probably handle this. I don't know, dude.
The mustache. It's the mustache.
That's right. It's a false sense of propriety.
Well, we know there were lots of shenanigans, and we know there must have been a ton with you and Josh, but were there any other like practical jokes or, you know, some behind the scenes, like favorite, you know, comical moments I mean, there have to be. There must be.
In that exact same moment that I'm describing, even though that beat left, we are in the Chinatown squad, the office, and there's a bird up in the rafters. As high as you get, higher than being outside. And this bird was just chirping throughout the scene. And so we'd be doing this like really heavily focused thing. And then you just hear this caw of this bird. And you'd be like, you see all the eyes just kind of drift up and go, are we still running? Are we going to do this? Is there anything salvageable in this? It's so great. Yeah. That, and then all the tent stuff in between was just, I mean, constant dance parties. I think Olivia posted a little bit of the backstage or behind the scenes of the wedding, where we're all just doing push-ups and trying to stay warm and awake and present.
I always love her outtakes.
Yeah.
She got some great ones. And sorry for the little bit of a tech problem there, but it seems to be all good.
You made it work. It was all
you
good.
You guys made it work. That's why I've got the best song in the business.
We made that shit work.
It's a good thing we had Nick there to keep you fuckers all in line. I tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. There are some other comments here I want to get to as well. And there's some mutual comments. So from Customs for the Kids, we said they wanted a spinoff show with you and Lee. And Raghu also said, so many spinoffs can happen from Warrior. You can make a show just about his character catching counterfeit criminals. Heather concurs. Now, do you think you should come back, as Daddy Longlegs says, or do you think you should have like your own little spinoff?
So speaking of jokes, Joe Taslim would always say, because we wouldn't see a lot of each other's, as many people have probably said and have said, we don't, when you're in your sort of insular pocket, you don't see a lot of the other stories. Mm-hmm. But toward the end, when Joe had started to see some stuff, he said, oh, here's what we need. We need the idea of, the kung fu going off into the, problem solving episodic, but it needs to be Lee Young and Mosley. We start our own tong,
I love it. I love it.
But the beautiful thing, before I got there, the idea was that Mosley bought it in the ice house and died. And so I got there thinking it was a kind of a one-off thing. And right out of the gate, Josh was like, no, you don't die. We don't know what happens, but you don't die. I was like, oh great. So it was, and just from a storytelling perspective, a character like Mosley is so great because you bring him in to solve some unsolvable problem because the sort of umbrella is so big, or you bring him in and it causes problems. If he, if he comes in and starts investigating Buckley, that's a big problem. Or if the story does all the stuff that it's doing and you need somebody kind of to swoop in with sort of a larger aperture, he's kind of a great storytelling device to just plop in wherever you need him, I definitely see value in him, and selfishly I just want to go back and play.
I was so nervous after that scene where I was like, they really killed this motherfucker off. I really enjoyed him. And then he came back and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I was literally on the couch and I was with my girl and we were watching and I was like, yes, he's fucking back.
To get to have two, just a reintroduction, that's pretty fun. Just like stomp up through the, through the thoroughfare.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like the old screenwriting trope, not trope, but that great trick. If you want to make someone who's typically going to be looked at as an antagonist, but you want to give them some sympathy, you make them save a cat. And like they call it the saving the cat method. And it's almost like that's you with Lee, with Officer Lee, right? Like you're that guy that's like, no, Lee, I'm going to pick you up. Not only that, I'm going to make sure that, Bill's going to be the one that becomes chief. Like, I don't care about this Atwood. So
Right.
Did you go into it like with that kind of a mindset at all, or is that something kind of came along the way?
Yeah, so I read this book about one of the first sort of players in the Secret Service. Hiram Whitley was the guy's name. And it's just, it reads like a pulp, you know, novel, because it was a new system. And this guy's going like, oh, how do things go? Oh, however I think. He was like, it literally was Miami Vice in 1860, 70, 80. Right. Where he's doing like black ops, where he's doing, you know, offsite interrogations and all sorts of like undercover stuff. You know, there was an anecdote where he was also moonshine was what they were also after. Mm-hmm. And there was this team of moonshiners, and he had him and two deputies, and he basically BS'd and bluffed his way into getting them to all surrender. You know, we got you surrounded, and it's just him and two guys, but they all pull their weapons out. He's like cuffing them, having them cuff each other. But so I took that all to heart and said, oh yeah, that's a fun idea to play. It's a fun idea to watch a guy who you don't know necessarily where his stakes are or what's on the line. It kind of gives you this, it's a mystery, but it also gives you, a confidence that you just kind of can't really point to. You're like, what is up with this dude? He seems to be happy all the time. And that, I think that sort of entitlement kind of, you know, it's like the gross version is the, you know, your old white male, but also it is that sort of thing of like, he's like, well, what are they going to do to me? Yeah, that's like a kind of gross thing, but it's also a little fun to watch in doses.
But also you had to kind of guess the way he came in, the way Mosley comes in. You don't really know. Does he have other allegiances? You don't really know. There could be. And that's the way it delivers. So you're very intrigued. Like, what is he going to do? What is he going to do next? I love it.
Yeah. And I love the idea at the end when he's saying, hey, thanks for helping me out. And he's like, you extorted me. This is what you're talking about. I was blackmailed to help you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
There's definitely some rebellion to the character.
Yeah, right.
And then we also had the Bombshell Blurred say, another great thing about the show is that there's opportunities for so many unexpected team-ups, which you kind of talked about there with Joe. Something I wouldn't even have thought about, but it worked perfectly. Like, there's so many great team-ups we can have here that are unexpected that actually work. What is, we talked about the Joe one. What is your dream team-up?
I mean, listen, that's hard to beat. Him walking at the end in that post-credit, him walking away with just this team, and the idea of that, and, you know, Mosley needs to get into, you know, into something, and he can't because he looks the way he looks, but he's got this guy. That writes itself. But literally, like, to your point, take any characters. I mean, that's such a sign of what they've created. You're like, I'm the writing exercise is you go plop, you know, Atoy, and plop, you know, Chow's child from, you know, all these things. You go, well, there's, yes. Okay, that's a spinoff, or that's a three story arc. They did such a good, the homework and the legwork they all did and do. It just creates just such a palpable and a nutrient rich environment. Yeah.
See, you hit one key thing for me, because you hit on the biracial, like Chow's child. You know, that's such an extra point for me, because actually all the four of us are all biracial. And so, you know, that's definitely a topic, you know, and the fact that the show hits on that is so important to me.
Yeah, it's such a, you're right. The value in that can't be overstated. And it's also, it's such so funny that we're as storytellers, we're so late to it, to having everybody come to the table, or not having a table, you know, just we all just sort of talk to each other, but it's not only important and valuable and holistic and good. It's also very fun to watch. And it's very, it integrates. It brings things together. You kind of go, oh yeah, I see this thing. There you go. I thought we were so different. No, we're not different at all. We're all going through life the same and kind of looking at how we find love and find safety and find community. It's such a volatile situation, but it's real.
Nick, you talked a couple times about you mentioned how you found similarities with Hiram Whitley for your character of Mosley, and we've heard so many of the other actors compare their characters with other historical figures. Now, is that something that you were told going into it? Like, are you told, hey, maybe look up this guy? Is that something the writer's room tells you? Or is that something you do on your own homework? Or maybe the other actors are like, you know, this is kind of what we've all been doing.
The script provided that, you know, the lines he says about the Secret Service and what he's after. And then I went and looked up, I found this book. As soon as I got cast, I found the book and was like, I wonder if any of this is usable. And that there it is. Yeah, Freedom's Detective. And it absolutely, I was like, oh, all of it's useful. It's like, you know, it's almost like a treasure trove where you go, yeah, well, that's not going to read. You know, what he had for breakfast isn't going to read. But it was so, there was so many parallels to like a current sort of Vice squad. I just thought, oh, this falls completely in line with what the story's voice is and sort of the anachronistic, you know, that it's then and now. I really loved that. And then I was shooting texts back and forth and saying, like, you know, we're looking up terms. Is this useful? Is this is something he might have said? Yeah, that's useful. Oh, that has too much, you know, too many current connotations. So let's, no, we can't. It was really... a play. I didn't know really what to expect on a set of this magnitude, particularly as it was stepping into the HBO world. Like, I didn't know if that means no, you do your job and you zip your lip, or if it was as collaborative as I'd heard that everybody was saying, where it was like, you know, would O'Hara do this, or does Stone load his gun this way, like all those little things you go and it was absolutely that, so familial, so collaborative, to your point, Matt, that you just go, all right, I'll just offer this and just be entirely trusting that if I've overstepped or if it's too much or not valuable, that they'll just tell me not at this time.
So, well, I'm gonna assume that they really like you, and I'm saying that because we got a comment all the way from South Africa, Cape Town. That's right, Auntie Vi herself, Patricia Boyer.
Yay!
Favorite policeman.
We had
Patricia on last week.
One of our
absolute funniest episodes that we've done. I haven't laughed that hard in a long, long, long time. So much love and thanks for watching the show. And so how great is that though? Because we hear it from so many of you that we're like, oh, well, obviously Patricia or Nick, and we're hearing it, like we're hearing certain extras even talking about how nice and how like, oh, it's Joe, you know, or like Jason or Perry, just everyone gets along so well with everyone.
I was coming literally directly from, we talked a little bit about it before. I've been doing The Lion King for the last 14-ish years. Across North America. You talk about the Venn diagram. I spend most of my time with a loving international cast. Largely, you know, many of whom are from South Africa. So it was like, as I was getting ready to head out, I'm like kind of nudging people. Where should I go? You know? And but I didn't know what to expect to coming to this set where everybody, there was a shorthand, everybody knew each other already. There was, love languages that had been, you know, developed over a couple of years, several years. I was like, all right, I'll sit back and just see what energy I'm met with. And it was this effusive bear hug from everyone. I mean, yes, this Joe, who's this, you know, Olympic level judo master. Right. That's just one of his skill sets mixed with this, mixed with this, mixed with this. Just this, the warmest, deepest hug you've ever felt. And you're like, are we best friends? Are we literally best friends starting right now? But it goes, straight across. You know, I just had lunch with Chen 2 days ago. Where it's like this connection, just this magnetism, so much grace, so much warmth and inviting energy. Olivia, I came in with Chelsea and Mark DeCascos, and it was like I got to ride in in the vans with them every day. If I had just spent 5 months driving to and from the stunt tent with them, that would have been enough, let alone getting to go and play in this incredible story. It was incredibly loving, so it's no surprise. And I got to, even though I didn't get, that was a regret, seeing the bottle episode, you go, oh, I wish I could have stayed for all of that. It's been, just been an extra kind of walking by.
You mentioned Mark, and Mark is such, his character was such a great addition to this season. Spoilers, we're going to miss him moving forward. But he seems like, when you follow him on social media, I'm of a certain age, so I remember Mark back in the Double Dragon days. And playing the Crow, even following up for Brandon Lee. But everywhere when you see him on social media and you see him behind the scenes, he seems like the most chill and most nothing will ever faze him, and he's just always going to be happy kind of person.
It does faze him, watch out, because he's also he's just a Swiss Army knife.
Deadly.
Yeah, but you're right. I don't know where that line would be, because he just, he is absolutely just this, that Ohana you see in him is just really, it's unbelievable. You sit there and you go, I looked at everybody in the cast and crew and in production, you go to the offices, it's that same energy of everybody being on the same page. That's why, as we are pushing for season 4, that's where it comes from, because everything we feel as viewers and we're watching and so fed by it, that's why, because it's all happening in real time and the cameras just happen to be rolling. Yeah, so great. That's an amazing graphic.
It becomes the favorite show for everyone who works on it.
Absolutely.
Your favorite project. Actually, I wanted to ask about Hong Lee. He directed the episode where you, Agent Mosley and Lee got, Chow and Lee, they go to the Lee's family in Georgia and they are kidnapped. And Hong wrote that episode and directed, if I'm not wrong.
I think Brett directed. Brett directed that episode, and I think Hoon wrote the wedding episode. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I think that's right. But you're absolutely the point is taken. That integration.
Because Hoon has such a brilliant mind. He's a brilliant human being, and not surprising, he's an amazing actor, and vice versa. he's an amazing actor, so he's a brilliant person. And he wrote some great lines on the episode that he wrote, if I remember. And on that episode where Chow and Lee are in the train, they had such a great dialogues. I was amazed by the deep of those dialogues. I had the notion that Hong wrote, but I don't know, maybe not.
Well, you're absolutely right with Hoon and Hoon's acting ability and his mind and his writing ability. That line blurs too, where you go, the syntax of this sentence is this. So a restructuring or punching the operative words in a way where you're like, oh, I know that it says that on the page, but when it's sort of realized, it becomes more. His impact and his sort of the offering is limitless, because you just go, he's like an engineer. He's like, safe cracking through whether it's a plot problem or, you know, like a beat where you go, well, does this beat follow this beat exactly? Oh, wait, he's a chemist and a surgeon and a great guy. So, yeah.
There are quite a few. And I think it was just one episode, you know, back to when he said, I know I'm not a slave, you know, just, you know, the way he delivers a key portion and the timing. Oh, it's just, it's mastery.
Mm. Yeah.
Mastery.
Yeah. Right. So deft. Yeah. I agree.
I wonder how much, and maybe you can speak a little bit to this too, Nick, is, cause you speak of how collaborative it is there and how giving creative is to all the talent there. I wonder if, some of Hoon's skills have come because he spent so much time working with JT, working with Jonathan Dropper from Banshee, playing Job over there.
See?
And then coming over now to Warrior, and he was in C as well with Jonathan Dropper took over the second season there. So
yeah,
I wonder how much is that? Is Jonathan that open with everybody?
It's a good question. I think I'm sure you've all heard the no assholes policy that JT has.
Yeah. That is
intentional. Yeah, that when you're crafting a sort of an ensemble, that it's people you want to hang out with, people you want to work with, people that you're going to be spending more time with them than your family. So make it the right collection. But you're right. When it's been one, two, three, or more shows with somebody, you do have a shorthand, and it affords you a little bit of, oh yeah, I not only do I care about this story, but I know that guy. So let me run some ideas by, and not in a overstepping way, but we're friends and this is our livelihood and this is what we're doing. So I had that with Josh where I was able to, you know, not necessarily offer up suggestions, but just the idea of like when you're having dinner and chit-chatting, those kinds of things are just as real as stuff that you're doing on set. You know, you can unpack in a friendly way and just kind of bounce ideas off. And that's so fun with zero sort of, you know, ego involved and zero onus to be like, well, you know, my friend said this, so we're going to put like none of that. None of the sort of friend nepotism. Right. It's all sort of earned genuine connection. So that wouldn't surprise me at all if that his history with Jonathan is affords him. But and he also is just a, you know, genius. So
yeah,
if somebody says a few genius things offhand, then you can, maybe you start to kind of lean in when they start to talk. And you go, what else? What were you thinking?
Yeah, it's usually why people are leaning away from me.
Yeah.
The Bombshell Blurred says Sophie and Assam team up to break Penny out of asylum. Going back to the team up.
Tie up loose ends.
We really do need a season four because we have so many loose ends. Heather Joy Pratt says, just watch the scene with Chow and Millie. That scene cuts deep, Hannah. I mean, there's so many scenes that do cut deep. Have you watched the entire series yourself, Nick?
Listen, have I watched it 75 times? Is it really, as we're pushing, I took Din, who directed a few of our episodes, I think 2 and 3, had the idea of you're watching it on your main, you know, your big TV where you can enjoy all the sumptuous camera work. You got it going at 1.5 on an iPad. You got it going on your phone.
I'm
watching it thoroughly. And you're seeing these little, I'll text, you know, friends from the cast and be like, did you see the receptionist in the Mason office, how he was giving Bill the business? Just thinking of all these moments, you know, he's like, all these little things that you wouldn't see until the 100th time you've watched it. But right. Yes, I have watched it. Yeah.
So what's the scene that breaks you? Is there a scene from this show that just absolutely destroys you when you watch it?
There's many, but particularly when I was reading, you know, we'd get the scripts and I was reading the scenes with Mai Ling, you know, getting ready to be deported. And I'm just like, on the page, I'm crying, let alone knowing what Diane's going to do with it. It was, heart-wrenching and Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It gets to you because it's so real and so now. That, you know, seeing Jason and Perry behind the fence, and you just this is way more prescient and present than it should be, and let alone their work honoring the moment and crafting the moment from all the show creators and everybody. It's they're devastating, and they're you know, the fact that we kind of come through it and there's still some story to tell is it's very, very powerful and very well executed, and it just makes me so proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the scene for me. I think, like you said, there are so many of those just gut wrenching scenes, but for me, it's my boy. Like, I will never, like, after young June takes Father June out as per his dad's wish, and he's just like, my boy. And I'm like, oh man, every single time that gets me. And Perry's acting, and then Jason's acting in that, and that's what I always when you're watching acting, if you watch an actor and it comes to an emotional scene and that actor is trying, like, you could see not the actor, but you see that person trying to hold the emotions in. That's how people really are. Nobody cried for real. And seeing that scene, I'm like, oh my God, Jason, you, like, he just destroys me every single time I watch that. And this show, it's so much of that. We're getting into some really heavy stuff, but the heaviest part of the show is about to come for you, Nick. I know you've noticed that Money Match, who has been awfully quiet.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. There's a mystery to that. That's not great.
He is our bolo. He is the muscle of our team, though. Like, he's that enforcer.
Homie, I'm not trying to die off the show. Are you kidding me? Like, what are you talking about?
Hold on, wait a minute. That's my...
What?
The clock is ticking.
Yellow demon.
The yellow demon. Well, all right. He's going to be our surviving bolo. But he has a very important task each and every week, and that is... He runs the Tong Trials. I am going to let Matt give you the quick rundown on what the Tong Trials entail.
Okay.
Are you ready, Matt?
Sure. You already know how this goes. For many of those who do not, and it's kind of weird that you don't, but I mean, I'll run it down anyway. So what happens for now is that I will ask you a series of questions, and you will answer them to the best of your ability. When it's all said and done and you complete the Tong Trials, we will raise our hands into this air / screen. For those who haven't or are just listening, and I'm telling you what's going on, we will either do one of two things. We are either going give you a thumb up. Yeah, our thumbs are out. We are going to give you a thumbs up, and you are in, or it is a thumbs down, and we cast you out, and you will not be part of our Tong. Now, just for the record, I can't state this enough, that so far we have always had a 100% completion rate, and everybody has been into the Tong Trials. And of course, the two that have returned, they have been reinitiated, their cards are stamped, and they're renewed, and, you know, they're good for another couple years or so.
Keep talking. I'm going to tie my sash around, because I'm assuming that the sash is taken once the Tong initiation is over.
Oh yeah.
Sash.
Oh yeah. I need you to get prepped, prepared, whatever you need to do, because after this, there's no going back when I ask this question. Nick, are you ready to endure the Tong Trials?
It's happening whether I'm ready or not, so yes.
You damn right. Because you are new to the show, you do have one of two choices, okay? You can endure either the very old school Tong Trial, or you can do this season's Tong Trial.
Oh, that's gracious of you. Let me do this season's Tong Trial, just because it's the freshest.
Okay. I see like nobody ever wants to do the original.
It's nobody wants to do it.
Okay, so let's start it off. Question number one. If you had a time machine, would you revisit your past or see your future, and why?
If I had a time machine, would I revisit my past or see my future, and why? You know what? I would go to the past. 100% final answer. And the reason I would do it is to compare. One of the things that I'm trying to do in life is to be as present as possible and be in the exact now. So it would be interesting to go to a moment that's happened and hold it up as sort of a crucible or a touchstone against what my now is and be like, oh, and it would probably highlight the fact that, you know, each moment is gone and the past is gone and it's only now. And so it would probably break the time machine, but I still want to do it and just see what I see, hold sort of my realization up against what has happened.
See if the hindsight matches.
See if it lines up. Yep, exactly.
Because nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm.
It's always, yeah, that's Vaseline.
Excellent answer.
I like
that. Was that our first answer for the past?
We've had a majority of past. There's only been one for the future. And one that's always said
neither.
So next question. Name a cartoon, show, or movie they should never do a reboot or remake of.
A cartoon or show that they should never do a reboot or a remake of. Okay, that is good. I'm torn because there's a big part of me that even when they're not good, it takes me back, speaking of nostalgia, it takes me back to that place of where I was. But what should be untouched? It should be, I want to say, I'm going to say Silverhawks.
Oh, wow.
I think leave the Silverhawks alone. Let them live. There in the rarefied space, because I want it where it was. I don't want, you know, a new spin on it.
I'm unaware of Silverhawks. What can you give me, like, a brief little synopsis of that?
Silverhawks was around the Thundercats era, and it was this team of sort of encased in sort of living steel. It's a team not unlike many of the teams, your Voltrons, your they come together, but they would all have sort of, there they are, a special ability.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Cowboy with the guitar sort of spinning his barred tunes out. Beautiful. And I say leave it alone.
Okay. Right. I like this.
Frozen in Amber.
Ooh. All right. Next question. This always seems to be a favorite for this one. Name a hidden talent of yours that would surprise people.
A hidden talent that would surprise people. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with two because one, I don't know if it's a talent. I can do the alphabet backwards. That's a little hidden thing. Wow. But a lot of people can do that. That's not neither here nor there. And I have an actual mutant ability to find parking spaces where there were none.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah, it's a matter antimatter thing. It's if a car is there, it's not there.
Okay, so what is your X-Men code name then? If your mutant powers, you can find parking spots. What is your name? What's your code name?
Compact only. It's what I go by. Just compact only.
To me, about compact only.
Yes, that's it. That's me.
That's perfect.
Compact. Get over here. Oh my God.
It's parallel parking time.
That's it.
Jealous. I'm jealous of such a power. Damn, that's a good one. Next, nice. Next question. He's doing good so far. Finish this sentence. Never have I ever blank.
You know what I was just about to say? I was just about to say, never have I ever broken a bone, and I just broke my toe a few months ago. I can't even say that. Whiff. Okay, new one. Never have I ever. Never have I ever. Why is this as hard as it? I had such a go-to answer for 40 plus years. Never have I ever been to China.
Oh,
and I want to rectify one. That. Yeah. Zan. So we'll do another show and we'll do it on location.
Yes. We'll travel.
Yeah.
Mother Joy approves of the X-Men code name of Compact Only.
Compact Only. Nice. All right.
Nice. Hey, Reg, you want to know if you, seeing as you are the X-Men, will you be watching the Disney Plus series of X-Men, the animated?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question.
Same.
Binging currently before it happens.
Yeah. This season's rough, though. That last season's rough. They changed the artwork. Anyways, that's another show. Another show for another time.
Right. You're right. It needs to be said.
Let me love it. Let me love it for what it is. So let's see. Next question. Between breakfast, lunch, or dinner, what is the best meal of the day?
Breakfast, no question. Breakfast, yes! And it doesn't matter when you eat it.
Finally!
Yes!
Finally! Yes. Somebody no says
very good point.
Yeah, yes. No question. What is the go-to breakfast
for you? Okay, so go-to, I'll do sort of a lightly tussled eggs. I wouldn't lightly say scrambled, tussled. Maybe Ooh. Maybe folded and sort of, you know, feathery. a sweet potato hash with some bell pepper, onion, you know, maybe a soy riso kind of situation. And then some cheese, maybe Fontina.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I think for me personally, he's in just for saying breakfast. So I think he already fucking won that one. All right, next. I still got to do it to you, but we're gonna keep moving. Yeah. Next one. All right. So now we know, like back in the day when we were all in school, you know, everybody had like, you know, those random awards where it's like best smile, best dress, you know, most sure. likely to, you know, sleep on concrete without being woken up by traffic. What if for the Warrior cast, right? What do you think they would award you?
Okay. What would they award me? All right. Maybe, okay, so I'm going to go cast, but also crew, and I'm going to go maybe most polite or most deferential. I hadn't had a ton of time on sets, and so I get there, and I'm being treated so well by all the ADs, and they're like, you know, can we get you coffee? And I'm like, well, I mean, if you're going by the coffee, yes, but don't make a special trip. And they're like, no, my job is special trips. It was like, I had this idea of like, and that took some getting used to, and I still never got used to it. I would always be like, well, I'll walk with you. We can get it together. Like, it was this kind of, that was unsettling.
That is a theater attitude. That's yes, theater absolutely. Attitude. Like, no, what do you mean?
We got to give it up for politeness. What? We got to give it up for politeness. I love it. All right.
You have stuff to do. I'm not doing anything. I'll go get the coffee. Right.
By all means. Next question. Who is the first person that you tell whenever you get good news?
Okay. The first person I tell is my wife, hands down. And if we can... Did I just hear my daughter yell at me from the other room? Because it's it needs to be a shared phone call because they often will be upset with who knows what first. Sometimes it is my daughter, sometimes it's my wife, and that is an ongoing battle. And they are their own two tongs. That I'm the chow, and I try to sidle up.
I thought you were just like hurry up, both at once. And just be like, excuse me, hold on. Let me just get in between y'all.
I love the analogy of he's the chow.
That's it. It's
the two times of his wife
that's
and his
exactly
daughter.
Right.
Oh, I feel that. I feel that.
Yeah, it's a real tension.
Oof. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Next one. Describe your perfect day off.
Okay. It's my perfect day off is usually there's not much going on. I'll chill. I love to watch anything, film, television. I like to watch bad film television. I like to a day off. I'd love to play some RPGs, some Dungeons and Dragons if I can, some nice. Maybe some PS5. It's usually there's nothing really to do, so I just sort of stumble from thing to thing, maybe just go to a gaming shop and look at dice, goof off kind of stuff.
Are you a big gamer? Are you like a really big gamer? I, not
in the sense where I know gamers who are like, you know, what are you playing? I've got two, and I'm playing three games and I've played them for the last 10 years. Once it gets into the catalog, people are like, you're still playing the first Red Dead? Yes, I am. And I was learning my lines. So joke's on them. I was learning mostly lines playing Red Dead with carriages kind of coming up and just playing all the scenes.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a select sort of, catalog, and then yeah, of course, anytime I can get together with friends and do some shared storytelling, then I'm good.
Perfect. Yeah. I like that. Very, very comforting. I like it.
Nice.
We're almost down to the final three. Here we go.
The final stab.
Oh nice. Lord! Yes,
we blend them all. We've got hot ones.
I love hot ones. If there is one show I actually really want to be a part of, it's
oh right, me too.
I just want to eat wings. That's all I want to do.
I want to eat the vegan wings, but still.
No, I just want to eat wings and die and answer questions at the same time. That's all I want in life. Yeah. If we're all out at a karaoke bar, what is the song that you are choosing to give a performance of a lifetime, Nick? What is it going to be?
Okay.
Can we get a little sample?
Absolutely. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Whether
you
ask
for it or not.
Let's go. Let's go.
Talking to musical language.
Another love language for Josh and I is our almost unnatural love for Tom Jones. Tom Weston Jones, who we also love. and the other Welsh Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Daughter of Darkness would definitely be on there. Daughter of Darkness, stay out of my life, my life. You took my heart and then you broke it apart. You daughter of darkness. Why did it feel so good?
Oh my God. Wait though. Now I need you to do that again. I need you to sing that again with this up while you're doing it.
Yes, with the actual puppet. Daughter of darkness. Stay out of my life, my life. A little bit of
I am speechless. That was fabulous. Oh yes. Oh, this one that goes down in the books.
That's my best trials that we've had this season.
I'll take it. Shut down the show. I want.
Final two. What is some advice that was given to you that you will never forget?
I'll keep it show related because I was so excited to come and join this family. I asked all my friends who have done, you know, more than one-offs on shows, like what I should take on set. Mm-hmm. And I heard the same answer from a few folks was the idea is to formulate the germ of the idea, the beat, the want, whatever the thing is, and keep it inside and don't demonstrate it. Let the camera come to you and find it. And especially coming from theater, especially coming from that puppet where you're, you know, playing to 25 to 4,500 folks and you're demonstrating and giving these big, you know, you know, sweeping gestures, that idea of like really getting down into tight aperture and bringing it back into your mind and letting the audience again sort of lean forward and come and grab it and grab what they want, not what I'm trying to force feed. That was a huge advice, and I definitely was aiming for that.
That's good.
The Bombshell Blur says Nick has to be one of the coolest people on the planet. I'm glad I got to see this interview. And Nick, you are a fan freaking tastic.
And to conclude it all, let's see if this can be done with flying colors. Here we go, Nick. The final one is, if you had a theme song every time you walked into a room, what would it be?
This is going to be a good one.
Theme song every time I walk into a room. Oh, boy, that's hard. That's like, it's like the, you know, the baseball players. You're coming up. Do you need something that amps you up? Do you need something that sort of sets everybody's expectations? Does it, that is tough. Oh, I wish I had thought about this longer. I don't want to get it wrong.
There is no wrong answer, and we've had
there's no wrong answer.
Unless you choose KBR. Right.
Now this is I'm going to give the answer that just bubbled up because there's no better theme song, and it's our theme song. But I know that people have said, they must have said that because the Warrior theme song is the best song there is, and you don't. And the gift that they gave me with being able to say my first line, my first beats in episode 2 into the cold open, into the theme song the best. And then I'll also borrow, if that's too trite an answer, I'll borrow Little Green Bag from the end of one, because that is and that version, not the original. I want it in Cantonese.
Yeah, the Chinese version.
Well,
I was walking to work like that the other day. I'm like,
I've looked for that song everywhere. I can't find it on Apple Music, Spotify.
It's hard to find.
Nowhere.
Right?
It's I could not find nowhere.
It. I got it from Mike Baker.
Me the original. Was it George Baker Trio?
I got it from our Warrior fam, Mike Baker.
Send it. Well, after we obviously, you know, close out. Yeah. We're gonna speak about that.
But we're all gonna speak about that one.
Well, Tong, that is it for me. It has concluded. So now it is judgment time. Hands in the air, and on the count of three, we will decide Nick's fate if he is in, or for the first time ever, he is casted out. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I already told you.
That was Chewer's quickest thumbs up ever.
It was because of the breakfast. That shit hit my heart.
Your thumb was on camera up the whole time.
I was like, I'm done. Like it was
the karaoke.
So, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, whether you're watching or you're listening, Nick has concluded. He has finished the Tong trials, and he is now in the Tong.
Oh,
congratulations.
B for victory.
Congratulations.
I love that.
So Nick, how did it feel? It wasn't so bad, right? Like you were
good.
No
one prepared me. It was daunting. It was enriching. It was it was.
You're welcome. You are welcome, sir.
Yeah, what a just an absolute benediction of a this is great. Absolutely great.
Derek, now that Warrior has gone to Netflix, I'm thinking Nick is going to get a lot of new attention and notoriety. I think that's true, though. Your character.
Listen,
this is what I love about Netflix, though. Netflix, when you get one show on Netflix, Netflix keeps you in mind. They rehire so much. Like, I think it could become the Langley Kirkwood channel soon, but.
They- That's right. That's right. Listen, if I can be in Langley's world for just a small part, I'll come and offer him tea and little scenes. That's all I need. Hang out with him more often.
And I really have just really a tiny follow-up to that question that to follow up for Netflix. Okay. Given that, you know, season 3 came out in June and then we had the strike and really you couldn't do a lot. You couldn't do anything. Okay. How does that feel being able to shout at the rooftops right now? Watching all of you able to just scream about all of the fun, all of the, you know, just all of the efforts. How does that feel being able to just blast it now?
It's so good because what it is it's an echo that does bring you back. We keep talking about time and present and past and future, but it does that, you know, when we're commenting on each other's posts, when we're, you know, texting in our WhatsApp, all that kind of stuff, you feel like you're there. It feels like, it feels like that same first hug, you know, when you can, you know, when somebody makes you smile, with all that history, there's just such it really is it keeps it going. And then there's this, the hope too, which is like, all right, so if this excitement and energy can equal, you know, more time together, yeah, it's hard to put a cap on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot of people shouting for you. So exactly to her point, this is great for you.
Yay!
We love it.
Oh my gosh. So good. So good. I appreciate that.
this has been a great show and great having you on. I mean, we've done this, it seems every week we keep upping it. And it's just a testament to the show though. And the casting department though, honestly. One thing, and I was going to duck out of here. One thing I did really want to ask you though, and I hate keep going back to the theater thing, but there's so many theater people that we're finding amongst mm-hmm. this cast. Being a theater nerd myself, like, do you think that adds a lot though to you know the depth that some of these actors are giving their characters, like coming in and having that background?
I do. It's so funny because we said this show feels like a troupe, like a resident ensemble. When you show up with everybody they're all craftsmen, that makes everybody's job easier. You know, if you're not doing 100 takes because everybody did their homework and they're doing the, you know, they're also helping to break the story and really unpack. Right. It's a gift to everybody to honor everyone's time, to honor everybody else's process. If you go, yeah, I respect you enough to bring everything that I have to you when the camera's on you. And and we're treating it like it's a two-hander in an off-Broadway house. And then you also remember that it's the destination. It's not the destination. It's the getting there. It's that we are doing the work right now. It's great that we have it captured and we can watch it and binge it and keep watching it and rating it and sharing it. But when we were in the room on the day, that was the performance. That was the theater. It was happening in real time. It wasn't assembled. I mean, it was also assembled, but it was also really happening, which is theater. Yeah, I 100% agree. That gives us a leg up.
I love it. And I did, like, there's a big part of me that really finds that's where a lot of the love and adoration comes from, because I haven't been on a lot of TV sets, but I've been on a lot of theater sets. And I know this can be something you hate before you get casted in the show. And then the second all that's out the window and those are like your best friends or your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Found family.
Well, it's amazing. Nick, I just want to say thank you so much. You stayed on longer than you absolutely had to. You killed the tongs. I mean, Matt Jewett is now a fan. Well, he's always been a fan, but now he's your number
always
one.
Always been a fan, damn it. But he is my breakfast buddy, so let's
We're
go.
Breakfast. Yes. Breakfast bravado. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. You have no idea what this entails, though, being his breakfast buddy.
What the hell does that mean? Come on. You don't know my breakfast shenanigans. What are you talking
about? That's right. That's right.
You don't know. I've never shared.
As long as you leave his witties alone, you're all right. This has been an absolute blast. What do you have coming up at all, Nick? Anything you'd like to promote before we get out?
So, North America, Lion King, if it's in your town, come and see me. I'm there 8 nights a week. I'm going to go do 2 today. And then, per our lips to God's ears, then every other show on Netflix. Right. Season 4, 5, and 6
Look
of Warrior and everything else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like you said, from our lips to God's ears, let's get a season 4 going of Netflix, of Warrior on Netflix. This is absolutely so much fun. You are an absolute joy and blast to talk with. You have to come back on the show. Season 4 has got to happen, and we got to have more Agent Mosley because, you know, we love your relationship with Officer Lee, but we'd like to see him bust his balls a little more often.
Sure, yeah, that's right.
It needs to be 6 seasons.
Man. We got to give it up. We got to
6 seasons.
Up.
Yep.
6 seasons. I love it.
6 seasons in a movie. Let's do 6 seasons.
Because you know Mosley's going to sneak in there, and all of a sudden something will be happening, and there he is. I'm like, oh.
That's right. I don't even need lines. I'll just be wandering around in the back, just taking notes on things.
We'll just see him in the back.
Just doing that.
Oh, so much fun. Well, this is the time of the show where we all head out. Hatches up, that's right, RCR. Big thanks to all the fans at home. Big thanks to Nick. And as we head out, Nick is already ready for this.
I'm leaving.
He's like, I know it. So, folks, without further ado, on 3, 1, 2, 3,
let's get started.
And that may have been the best one we've ever done, too. All right, everyone.